I cannot believe that you are in the freaking middle of this procession before you realize.
When I'm driving, I like listen to my music. I'm like bumping it and like, you know, and
bumping and jamming.
I was in the middle of a damn funeral procession.
Oh my god. That poor family.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm probably like, why is he so happy? Uncle Jimmy died.
So when you realized it was a funeral procession, did you pull over or was it too late?
I got to the other lane where every other normal person was.
The poor child, that poor family, to experience James in that capacity. The wrath of James.
Honestly, if it was me, I wouldn't mind.
Listen, they say pay attention to the road. I mean, I feel like common sense in my brain would have been like, all of these have their lights on, so, you know.
I feel like if they were really, I feel like it's two different dynamics. If they're like, we're truly in mourning, like this is an extreme loss, or if this was the fun, like, relative that was always like bumping and grinding, like drinking, like day drinking, like, I think that would be a lot different.
Oh, 100%.
James, I definitely do not think your mic needs to be up that loud.
No, listen, in like comparison, like, see all these little tiny ones that to me compared to your boom.
You need to project, James.
I'm not trying to scream.
Oh my
lord. Oh my damn.
It's
damn.
Dark, some dark blue.
How are you still so high? I just heard your microphone. Mike, Matt is fine.
Me? I am loud.
Listen, I guess I'm just going to be like, rah, 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 rah.
Bang, 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 bang. I really do believe that you need to pull this down. I think we sounded fine on the recording.
I mean, I think we're good now. What we have is set to.
I don't
good,
think
mine is decent. Yours is still loud
you,
as hell.
Real, real question though: can you edit the sounds post?
What?
Can you edit the volume?
No, I can edit. I can take stuff out, but I can't edit.
You can't change the volume. No. Okay, so I feel like we definitely need to pull yours down just a little bit.
No.
Let's do a mic check. Here we go. Mic check.
Mic check.
Mic check.
See?
Because
mic
I get
check.
Really, I get loud.
Okay, I think we need to turn Elizabeth up a little.
It just depends on
really
what you're doing.
I do not think that hers needs to go up any louder.
Okay, let's
I was here. Told explicitly not to turn the knob up that high.
It's not that high because, look, you may see it's high up here, but it's to the line. See, let's keep this on whatever number this is.
Do you
is
think
right
they
here.
Can hear that part?
That number. Like a chipmunk. See, now it's no talking. Okay, see. Let me talk. See, now when I'm talking, it's barely up. So we do have to move it up. I just think this mic may be a little down some.
Aw, it's a little down.
See?
Aww.
Yeah, now it's
tell a joke,
decent.
James.
Yeah, it's decent now.
Make it feel better.
So,
you guys want to get started?
Skibbity-dee-bop, a podcast original!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second episode of It's Hard.
What's poppin'? It's James.
And it's Matt.
And today's show is Friendship, It's Hard, episode number 2. Today we have a special guest star. Her name is Elizabeth Loftus. Say hey.
Hey.
She's one of our closest friends and has been invited to come and talk with us today on the subject of friendship, which, you know, as we've all experienced, has had its ups and downs. But to get started, I think the first thing that I think we can all agree on, that meeting people, especially meeting new people, is extremely difficult. So usually when I categorize like how I meet new people, I like to think about it in like 3 different terms. So I think about it in terms of like meeting them, since, you know, we're all college students, we meet them in class or through work opportunities. We meet people out in public that we just don't randomly try to meet, and we meet them online. So I think starting off, you know, working class, so me, I like to be a very social butterfly when it comes to my classes. I hate my major most days of the week.
I feel like you're one of those people who like talk in the middle of class saying like, I have something to say.
Only in the class, see, because I'm a science major, my classes don't really have that kind of argumentative style. I just listen and I try my best to keep up.
Oh yeah, because those lecture halls.
If I was in like, you know, an English or philosophy major, I would probably not have that problem. But for me, I like to honestly enjoy, like, for an example, I am a senior. I began my senior assignment class. When I walked in on that first day, I looked to everyone and I said, congratulations, all of us, we made it. We are crawled and dragged our way to this finish line, but
you're
we
cracking
are
up
here.
How you're talking right now. You sound like the Queen of England.
I like to be proper.
See, I wish I made friends that easily because I would never walk into a class and do something like that. I'm someone that someone needs to approach me. That's I don't I approach other people.
At first, like, they can approach me, and then, like, once I'm warmed up, baby, it's hot.
No, for real. My mentality is they will love me, or I will die trying.
Matt, he's not a people pleaser, but a people pleasee.
Honestly, I did make a really, I made a really great friend, though, actually, in that senior assignment class. After the first class, she actually came up to me and was like, "You have been so nice to me, and I have not actually been able to meet any new people here since I've started." And she is a bartender at a rooftop bar, so she told me that if I ever went to that bar while she was working, I'm not going to tell you guys where it is, that I would get free drinks. So
connections. It's all about the connections.
It's all about
when it comes to
money.
Alcohol.
I blame it on the... Okay, yeah, but I think, yeah, so that's my stitch, is meeting people in classes or through work. So I'm the kind of person that, like, I have to make my environment fun. If I'm going to be stuck there, if I'm going to be working in that environment or trying to thrive in an environment, I have to enjoy it. And I will force that to the, like, highest possible degree that I cannot, like, every work environment I've
been
in.
Wait, you will force friendships out of people?
I will force the friendship in that environment.
That is not a healthy relationship,
you know,
Matt.
What? That's why they're called work friends, not close friends. You gotta survive, James. It's all about survival. And survival to me means...
But they're not surviving if you're forcing them to be your friend.
They have a good time. We all have a good time. I like to make sure that whatever flow is occurring is happening naturally, it's happening easily, and that we all just leave work feeling better
than
when we
got
there.
See, but you just said naturally and easy, but like 2 seconds before you said you forced the friendship.
I forced the interaction just to get it over that initial awkward phase. Because like when you meet somebody, like you're always going to hit that initial awkward phase. Like I'm just persistent to the effect of like, I don't let things sit long enough to get awkward.
I mean, unless you're both naked and you end up sleeping with them or something.
James, I've never actually had that experience.
No. I recant my statement.
Can I get that redacted?
We'll take that off the
record.
Strike
from the record. We'll edit it out later.
Can we edit it out?
Potentially.
But I usually meet people out in public because I'm always going around, you know, meeting people, doing things, being a hoe, I guess.
Oh,
this isn't dating. So friendship. So I usually meet people out in public like when I have a lot of jobs, so definitely at work I make friends, which I guess goes into classes and work. But usually when I'm at the store or like sometimes when I'm at the, like the McDonald's little pickup when they drop off something, I try to strike a conversation with the McDonald's worker, even though like they're probably trying to do their job and I'm just being rude. I have no problem like holding up a line.
I believe it.
Yeah. Like one time it was like a big holiday sale at Bath and Body Works. That's what it's called. Yeah. And I was just like talking and like people are like, sir, I'm trying to buy.
Excuse me, you need to leave now.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying to talk.
I will tell you one thing that I admire about you, James, though, is that you have the capacity to make friends off of these dating apps. And I have never actually had that experience. So it's honestly kind of a marvel to me that you are able to do that. Because I think for me, I go into it with such the mindset of like, I want that relationship. I want that commitment to where if someone's just like, can I be your friend? I'm like, no.
Listen, sometimes I get tired of the hoes. I'm just like, I just need friends, you know? So, like, this summer I made a lot of friends over, like, Grindr, and that's how I made, like, most of my friends that came to Friendsgiving this past Saturday. Like, I met my friend Ian off of Grindr, and I met my friend Chris off of Grindr, and I met, like, Rachel and all of my other friends through them. So, like, it was
not
cool to meet friends off of Grindr. So it's not just a hookup app. You can make really good friends on there.
And to be frank, let the record show it was a 12-hour Friendsgiving.
I mean, listen, you only attended the first half of the Friendsgiving.
I did.
The first 12 hours?
Oh, God. The first 6 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
There was a,
oh, the whole
there
thing.
Was an, there was a late
yeah, everyone
night
left,
edition.
And then I was like, I'm bored. I want to partay. And then everyone came back, and we were partaying.
There was a Friendsgiving after hours. I saw photos. I saw videos. It was intense.
Listen, it was from 6 to 6, the hottest hours on the market.
Sundown to sun up.
Honestly. But, like, once you meet people, now you have to know the type of friend you are and what type of friends they are to see if they, like, mix in with the relationships. So, like, let's talk about the most important friend, the dependable friend.
I think, honestly, I would describe myself as being a dependable friend. I like to define myself as being not necessarily the friend you always want around, but I'm damn sure the friend you always need around. Just
you heard
because
it here first. Matt does not like people being around him.
You know, I have my moments. But no, I like to describe my, like, that's how I will always describe myself, because I'm, I, like, for real, like, I'm not always the, you know, I'm not that person that's going to be fake to your face or tell you what you want to hear. You know, I give you feedback that I think you need. I give you what I think you need. And if I'm going to be there for you all the time, you have to know that that's just me, and you got to take it or leave it.
That is true, because sometimes I come to you and ask for, like, advice, and you give me the answer I know is true, but I really don't want to hear, and I'm like, I guess.
You right. need that, though.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, like, that helps, you know, like, I'm, like, the right-hand man, like, I'm the kind of person that's, like, I'm bestie material. I'm not, you know, the easygoing bestie material, but I'm the bestie that you work for, and I love that for me. And I love that for you, too.
I feel like I'm a dependable friend to, like, my immediate friend groups. Where, like, if they need me, I got them. Like, whatever they need, I'm here for them. If they want to hang out, I'm there. I'll drop whatever I'm doing. Like, if you're going through a crisis, come over. I'll show up. I'll cook you something if you really want to.
That's true. James has offered to cook. James has offered to cook me food several times, and I can tell you that it's been very nice.
Yes. The closest way to a friend's heart is their stomach.
Oh, 100%.
Except for in James' case, because he needs them extra strength tomes.
The extra strength tomes. Ultra strength.
Yes. But I think, I mean, I think, yeah, and being that person is important, and especially in knowing that kind of friend we are, that's actually why we invited, you know, Elizabeth here today, because the next kind of friend that we want to talk about is the lovable friend.
The lovable friend.
The lovable friend.
The lovable friend is someone, so in terms of, like hugging and being like hands-on sort of thing. I think that can be good in some aspects. I feel like I'm not that friend. I feel like I used to think that I was that friend where, I mean, I don't know. It just kind of depends on the person.
Don't give Elizabeth hugs, y'all.
I don't, it's not that I don't like hugs. It just kind of depends on how I'm feeling. My mood changes often.
Got that
but
mood swang.
The words of encouragement I definitely think are important to have as that kind of friend, just to kind of boost you up, and not only when you're feeling down, because that's also really important, like when you're just having a bad day or bad week or something, but also even when you're having like a good week, just be like, hey, you're doing a great job. Like having a friend that you can like rely on to kind of keep you on track with those words of encouragement. Those are always
I can't be good. The lovable friend. It takes too much work.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
I feel like I could be a lovable friend because I took the love languages, what is it called, that little quiz this week, and I found out my like love language is personal touch. So like I like touching people. Not, okay, that sounds bad.
Is it because you're a Virgo?
Probably, you know. Mm. Virgos are touchy. Mm.
No, no. What I hate the needy friends. I think needy friends are some of like the most difficult souls to deal with.
I think we've all had a needy friend. And at first you're like, oh, like, I love this person. Like, we just get along really well. And then you're like, ooh, they're just really needy.
Yeah, and you're just like, listen, I'm not your damn therapist. I'm not your daycare provider. I'm not your mother. So, like,
I'm not your mother.
And see, and that's hard for me because I'm such, like, the motherly type of friend that
you
I'm
really
always, are. I really am.
You literally ask someone, are they of age to drink at Friendsgiving?
I asked to see identification. I may not be.
You did?
I did.
Do you have an ID? I was like, Matt, everyone is 21 in this household.
And in that household. Not when they step out of the household, but in that household, no rules apply.
That's fair.
And one person actually showed me her identification, and I was very proud. So.
She did.
You go, girl.
But no, I think needy friends are so difficult, mostly because like they are the most attention-seeking people, and that is really difficult to
have to
deal with.
They just have some personal problems where, like, you know, they need that attention because they may need to feel validated. So we're not going to discredit them, even though they may be annoying. But just everyone needs a little love, some TLC, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you know, and I love, you know, everyone loves to be loved, and everyone loves to be wanted. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it becomes an issue when it becomes problematic, and they're constantly coming to you in terms of, you know, all these things in my life are not going right, and I'm having all these problems, and I just don't know what to do, and they are constantly seeking your counsel and how they should be living their life.
That's true. It's hard to, like, tend to the needy friend when you yourself have needs and you're trying to deal with your life, so I get that point.
Well, especially because there are some problems that just, like, we're not like licensed or experienced enough to deal with, you know, and that it becomes a point or a line where you have to kind of tell them, you know, I can't be this person for you because you become too dependent on me, I don't want to be the cause of steering you in the wrong direction.
And then it becomes a problem for you because you feel obligated to like help them, and that can be detrimental to yourself, your mental health, you know.
Yes, I mean, I can, and James can definitely verify this. I have had a needy friend, like someone that was literally searching for me 24/7 whenever I was not around. Mm-hmm. Where is he? When is he coming back? Every time I walked in the door, and I'm not always the most, you know, touchy-feely person.
You really are.
Every time he came into the room, he just suction cupped himself to me. I mean, it was like, love me and never let me go kind of like shit. Yeah. I'm like, I can't be this person for you, and I just need you to step off. And they would just be like, well, you love my hugs, you love my affection, you love my cuddles. And it's like, I do, to an extent.
There's a limit.
There's a boundary.
Yeah.
Listen, it was great. I don't usually, like, cuddle with my friends, but, like, after Friendsgiving, you know, it was four of us in that little full-size bed cuddling, and it was like a cuddle puddle.
A cuddle puddle.
It was nice, but I get that. Like, once again, we are not discrediting needy friends.
No.
We are just personal experience with them.
Right, yeah. We're discussing that.
I do remember I had a really needy friend that I met through work before I came to college. And I just remember we were really close, but she really did, you know, if I didn't talk to her on the phone every day and night and all this other stuff, then she would get upset and kind of be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, you know, nothing, I'm just busy. And then when I came to college, she didn't really understand that, you know, we could still be friends. I just wouldn't be able to talk to her every day. She just didn't understand that. And that was really bad for my mental health because mm-hmm. I felt like a bad person and I felt really bad for having to take that step back. But yeah, that was my experience with a really needy friend.
I think a little bit worse, like the worst in a worst case, I think in some cases what's worse than a needy friend is the absentee friend.
Oh yes.
And honestly, I like to say that like the absentee friend is someone that's like, they're never there. They will ghost you and then reappear in your life like very intermittently.
When it's on their own terms.
When it's on their own terms or when it's convenient for them. And basically like they just pop into your life if and when they want to. And I think for me...
They're like, surprise, bitch.
You know? Hey. It's like you open the door and, yes, like, that stereotypic thundercloud, like, sound appears and there's a little bit of lightning.
Listen,
and, like, and
that's how I feel sometimes when I walk into rooms. I'm like, hey.
James knows he's coming to demolish friendships, to destroy lives, and to just demolish everything in his path.
Kicking ass and kicking names.
I mean, that's fine. But, no, like, for me, like, and I've had friends that will do that. And honestly, I think in some cases I can become this friend, and it's never that I really try to.
I think it's because you get busy a lot.
I get very busy, and I think honestly, like, one of my things is you have to be secure enough in your friendship to know that even if I don't talk to you for like a couple of days or a week, like, I will get back around to it. I just might be going through something, and I think that's something that we don't really think about enough. And in terms of those friends, though, is, you know, what's going on with them that they may have to step back from this friendship right now?
That's true. And there's plenty of times where, like, I've had a conversation with Matt or like some of my other friends, and then like they just disappear in the middle of it, and I'm just like, okay, fine.
I mean, yeah, you can't be dependent on them being there all the time. And you know, that's another thing, is you shouldn't be dependent on one other person ever. Mm-hmm. You know, you
that's
should be able to be self-sufficient.
A plethora of friends.
Honestly,
a harem of friends.
I hate that. I am probably most like the absentee friend, not in the way that like I'll ghost you kind of thing, but I do, when stuff is happening in my life, I do tend to kind of pull back a little bit and do things on my own. And my really close friends do know this, and they have figured that out very quick. I hate that I'm the absentee friend sometimes, but
we're all
absentee
friend at some point in our lives.
I feel bad.
We're adults. We get busy. We're in school.
We are works in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I still love all my friends. You know who you are. If you're listening.
You know if you're listening.
And another type of friend that just gets real detrimental on top of like the absentee friend is the moot. The one
moocher.
Who's always trying to get something from you. They'll eat your damn food when you just go grocery shopping. They'll expect you to pay for things because they're broke without giving you a warning before you have to pay for it, so you feel obligated to do so. Sometimes they feel like an unwanted roommate. So, like...
Like, you go to dinner with them, and then, you know, you eat, you have a great time, and then the bill comes, and they're like, oh, you got me, right?
I'm just like...
And yeah, like, I don't have my debit card, I have no,
like,
cash on me.
I left my wallet.
And it's not even one of those things where, like, they are apologetic about it, they just know. Like, you just say it as a quick response, like, oh, yeah, I don't have anything on me.
They're
sorry.
Like, do you want this check separate or together? And they're just like, together, you're, like, saying, sip.
Yeah, you're like...
Nothing worse than getting cut off mid-sentence of telling a waiter or waitress that you want your check separate.
It's like awkward. It's like saying, are you dating or not? And one says, like, no, and one says yes.
Unless they're, like, together, like, and then you're like, oh, you're going to pay for it? Oh, no, I don't have my wallet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I got you next time, and the next time comes, and they ain't got you.
Same situation.
And that's so sad, is I had a friend that had basically, and they were roommates, and that person became an unwanted roommate because there came a point where they were just relying on my friend for everything. You know, wouldn't take out the trash. They even mm-hmm. had a pet that they just would not take care of. I mean, aww. It was, you know, there was one time in particular, I was so hungover. I had unintentionally gotten blackout drunk. And I'm like, what? How does that happen? Well, in my world, you can definitely do that. You can get unintentionally blackout drunk.
Yep.
And you wake up the next morning, and I did. And I woke up the next morning. She woke me up the next morning and just to ask me to take her dog out to the bathroom because she was running late.
One time, like, it was my birthday weekend, so we were doing, like, my birthday festivities. And tell me why I had to pay for her on my birthday on top of myself. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, what the heck? And, like, she had this whole little note saying, like, everything she owed me. And she was like, I got you someday. And then we got in a fight, and we're not friends anymore probably because of that and some other factors, i.e. threatening to bash my head in.
Oh.
With a brick, but
what kind of friend category does that fall into?
The violent friend.
the iron fist friend.
Third degree murder type friend?
Oh, yeah.
That would be first degree murder. 100%. Oh, my God. No, I think honestly that might fall into the category of a little bit of a fake friend. And I feel like the fake friend and the mooch kind of go hand in hand together just because the fake friend is always, you know, they're all talk and there's no action. Mm-hmm. They are literally just there to give you, to make you benefit them. And they're only around so long as you are a benefit to them. So long, and the minute you know, are no longer providing for
they'll
them,
drop
or
you
no
like
longer
flies.
Giving you what they want, yeah, they'll just drop you off. And they
those
will
are heartbreaking.
You. They are, especially because those are the kind of people that they know how to get into your life relatively quickly. They know how to root themselves in your life pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as, you know, they have absorbed all of the nutrients that they can get, they will just pluck themselves out and move on.
Yeah, that's how I feel because, like, when I broke up with my ex at the time, I had a good amount of friends, like, we were all really close. I knew them before, like, they knew the ex, and, like, once the incident went down where we were, like, all broke, when we broke up, they just dropped me, and it was real sad at first. I was like, wow, I lost all my friends, and then, like, I made much better friends. Like, I tweeted the other day, I was like, I lost 6 friends, but I gained, like, 30, because, like, I have amazing SG friends now, and, you know, just a bunch of lovely people.
You have a mom friend.
Yeah,
mom friends are the good.
I have
friends.
Mama Matt.
No, honestly though, I will say, like, that same friend though that I was, it was a mutual friend. That horrible roommate situation. Me and my friend had that mutual friend who was a bad roommate. She mm-hmm. legitimately moved away and didn't tell me.
Oh my goodness!
After their whole
she
life,
was escaping you, Matt.
She literally escaped me. And the thing is every time I would see her, and we were relatively close at one point. You know, during college, we were really close. I spent every day with her. We worked together, and it was just,
wow.
Yeah, she just up and moved, and she has not spoken to me since.
The real question is, what did you do to her, Matt?
I did nothing.
You
that
drove
can
her
be
away.
Proven. No, honestly, it was also one of those mutual, it was not a mutualistic relationship. It was very, like, you know, she utilized me when she needed me emotionally, or she needed me in some capacity. So it's probably for the best that I'm not in that relationship now. But at the same time, it's hard because, you know, she was a big part of my life for a good chunk of time. So for me, that was, you know, it was kind of fake in that sense of she just hauled ass and didn't say a word.
Yeah. And
where'd she move to?
Like Peoria.
Oh, wow. So kind of far away.
Yeah. She moved back home.
But it does suck when you have that kind of friend and you put in the effort to be that good friend. But
the
then
effort and the funds.
Yeah, in the fun,
oh, yeah.
In the dollar signs.
I go deep. I go deep into my friendships. I don't half-ass friendships. Like, that's why I have a large plethora of friends, is because I cannot sustain that many close-knit relationships
mm-hmm.
at one time.
I can't believe Matt just called me a fake friend on live web radio.
Ooh.
You heard it here first, folks. But no, maintaining friendships is important, right? I feel like you guys would agree with me on that. Like, maintaining a friendship is both hard, but it's also important.
Oh, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Because, like, friendships, they're what make you sane in the morning. Like, you have something to look forward to, saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Rachel's house later. I'm going to hang out with my bad bitch, Bethany, you know. Like,
so many name drops.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Last episode, we were only saying the first letter of the first name when we were talking to people. Now we're just full-on name dropping.
Listen, I don't have the mental energy nor the brain cells today to do that.
To be like, Bethany B. Rachel R.
That's fair. Okay.
It happens, yeah.
But you know, I feel like it's putting in a lot of hard work. You have to put in a lot of
yes.
hard work to maintain a friendship. And I think that's what most people probably don't understand about them, is to have a solid relationship or a solid foundation. It's work.
I wish I was better at that, because that's definitely where my downfall is. I used to be really awesome at maintaining the friendships. I was the one in my small friend group, like in high school, I was like the glue that kept us together. I planned everything, you know.
You were the heart of the friendship.
Yeah, oh my God, I mean, I was the mom. But then I think the older I got, the more I was like, wow, I like being alone.
I'm going to say, like, I lived with, like, roommates throughout college. And, like, I like making friends, living in, like, a social setting. But, like, the moment I started living alone this year, I was like, it feels great to be alone. I was like, I can do whatever. I can walk around the house naked if I want to.
I love living alone.
See, I feel like I would need a friend to live with me. I until I had, like, a really strong significant other, I would need someone to live with me just because I get lonely.
Get a pet.
I think your love language would be quality time.
My love language would definitely be quality time. In college, I'm not a fan of having pets. I don't think college students should have pets.
Just at me next time, Matt.
You no longer have that pet, do you, James?
That's fair, but last year I had like 20-something pets.
I think it depends also the type of pet you have, really. Mm-hmm. Just, if you have like low-maintenance pets, that's one thing. But to have like a cats. Dog or a very needy dog, like I know somebody that literally adopted a handicapped dog and had to return it.
Oh, that's yes. So heartbreaking.
It was horrible. The story that I heard is, the dog was blind and partially deaf, and it was a puppy. And it wasn't an old dog. It just had a lot of needs. It had to be taken care of and given medication. And, they thought it was cute in the beginning. Mm. And then when it came around to it, they couldn't take care of the dog. And that's just, to me, like, I don't think college students should have high-maintenance pets. Because it's really unfair to that animal.
I wouldn't say all, though, because I do know some people who put into work to, like, take care of their animals.
Very
I know, like,
few.
Maggie, Haley, they take care of their animals really lovely.
Yeah, and I think it also depends on the kind of schedule you have. Mm-hmm. Me, with my major and the lifestyle that I have, I could not handle having a pet. I could not handle having something that needed me all the time just because I wouldn't be able to take care of it.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, never home.
Yeah.
My poor pet would sit at home and wonder where I'm at.
Where are you, Elizabeth?
Get a fish.
A therapy fish.
Wow. Oh, yes, a therapy fish.
No, but I think, honestly, though, like, in terms of, like, back to friendship, if we get on a little tangent of pets, I think, especially when it comes to friendships, you have to know how to work through those hard times or those really, like, hard moments. Because if you can, that just means that your relationship and your friendship is way more stable than you probably thought it was. But I like to think, like, the three R's of working through the hard times. And the first one, you need to reassess your friendship. You need to be able to come to a point where you can reevaluate what's going on and decide, is this the type of friend that I thought they were to begin with? Because you could think that you had a really, you think you'd have that dependable friend. Turns out they were the fake friend. Mm. And that's really difficult for some people, is taking that time to really, like, address and assess what's is going on in that friendship dynamic. Do I need this person in my life? Do they bring me joy? Like tidying up your life, tidying up your room. Does this thing bring me joy?
That's when you have to, like, have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself. Say, like, are they benefiting me? I mean, not all friendship benefits you, but, like, you should have a mutual benefit.
You need to have a roommate meeting with yourself.
Yep.
The dreaded
a team meeting with yourself.
The dreaded roommate text.
Just don't talk
need
to yourself.
Talk. No, but you have to be able to, like, know if that person, if it's truly just a hard time or if you are no longer compatible as friends. Because that's a really important factor that I think a lot of people don't think about, is, am I still compatible with this person? And then, like, after that, so if you get through that, like, reassessing point and you think to yourself, this person is meant to be my life, they are meant to be around, I need to fix this. At that point, you then need to reassure. You need to reassure that person that, hey, I know we're going through a hard time right now, and we're just going to have to work through it. Because I, in my life, have a best friend that we are going through that right now. We used to, she graduated from here, so we used to see each other on the daily. We used to see each other every single day. Her name is Michelle, and I love her, and she knows I love her.
I, too, love Michelle.
Yes, James even knows her. And we, we used to be inseparable. Most times people would ask us if they didn't see the other where we were, because they just
dynamic
assumed,
duo.
Right, we were.
That's fair.
Some
even
people
though
thought
I still
we were,
did not like you when I first knew Michelle.
James, okay, let it be known, James did not like me initially. And that's fair, because, again, going back to that type of friend that I am not always the friend you want. It is very hard to love me off the bat.
His first impression to me declined something I was really passionate about, and my feelings got hurt. So when I saw his name on that ballot for a VP one year, I said, I'm voting for the other candidate.
Oh, he didn't vote for you?
He did not. But you know what? I still managed to make it to the top, so. But no, it's, I'm not the kind of person that you love off the bat. Like, you have to get through that initial phase. Like, I don't always make the best first impression, but once you have me in your corner, I'm there to the end.
Yeah, like, that's, we became better friends during, like, late summer.
Yeah, and look at us now. We're doing a radio show together and, a podcast together. So, like, I think we've
come
through it. Yeah, who'd have thunk?
Who'd have thunk
it? Freshman year James was like, this bitch, I'm never speaking to him again. And look where we are now.
Listen, sophomore year James thought the same, too.
Hey,
2 years in a row.
And then I even went to his Friendsgiving, so I'm very blessed. Yeah. But no, like, so me and my best friend have experiences to where she graduated from here and we just don't see each other as often as we used to. Just, it was a complete 180. She moved out of the city, so she's no longer just here in town. If I want to go see her, I have to put in the effort to driving about 45 minutes just to see her. And it's not that the drive is hard, it's just that with my life and being a senior in college and having all these responsibilities, these jobs, these requirements to graduate, looking in my future, we just don't spend that time together that we used to.
Right.
And it's been really hard for us in terms of we've been kind of letting each other down in terms of I can't provide and be there for her as much as I once could. And I think that goes both ways. So I think, you know, what we've been working on a lot of is reassuring each other that, hey, we're just going through a hard patch. It's
yeah,
not going
to realize she's a grown ass adult. You're almost your way to a grown ass graduated adult. So, like, you know, you just got to go through it. Just realize that people get busy.
Yeah, and I think, and that is something that we are working through, is understanding that we're both very busy people, and that when we do make time for each other, it's a lot more meaningful, and we are there because we want to be there. And I think that's a really reassuring thing, and as far as, establishing, because you have to be able to adapt in any relationship, you need to be able to adapt. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, adapting to the fact that we both have full-time schedules now, and we don't get to spend all that time together, has really, you know, it's given us that perspective and that, you know, adaptive period in our relationship that we could probably survive more now than we could before this.
You just got to, like, adapt, evolve, grow, survive a little bit.
Especially in college.
Right.
Like, just everything's changing, especially if you have friends that are older than you or younger than you. Someone's going to graduate before you or after you. And
they're not allowed to graduate. I'll take their degree or their
rip
diploma.
It up.
You're going to have to come to my house, get in my mailbox, and steal it from me.
Listen, I'll make a tent by your damn mailbox, man.
No, please don't. I just want to graduate. I just want to get my degree. I'm so close to the finish line. Once we reach that reassuring point, though, that we got through just talking and, you know, reestablishing that we are here for each other, I think at that point, then it becomes, you have to reestablish that last art of reestablishing. Right. You got to get back to the basics of really understanding why you like to be around that person and doing things that you both enjoy together. Because one of the worst things you can do in an already strained relationship is start trying to cater to them. Mm-hmm. Because then you're just going to start resenting them because you're not doing what you like to do. Like, I love my best friend to death. She has two cats, and I am hella allergic to cats.
Oh, wait. Was this when you got locked in?
This is... She is referring to a time period in which I got locked in my best friend's room on the eve of my 22nd birthday.
Because of
your 22nd birthday just was not a hoot.
It was a very difficult, yes, because I think I talked last time about how the fact that I had to break up with my significant other on that birthday.
Rip.
Well, that night, we got into her bedroom, and she's got two cats, and I am, like, very allergic. I have to take an allergy medication every time I see her. And she knows that, no offense, I hate these cats. I hate being around them. I hate being near them.
The cats hate you, too.
Oh, her first cat does hate me. And we have a very, like, established relationship. And she made me the godparent of this cat. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I told her she can never die. This cat has to go before both of us because I will not take in this cat.
Ooh.
It hates me. It tries to bite me every time I see it. It only likes her. And that's
feelings
fine.
Are mutual.
Feelings are mutual. Yes. His name is Winston.
I can't believe Matt is biting cats.
No, I would bite that cat. Like the movie Sled Dogs, where he had to bite the ear of that dog.
No.
I would bite this cat's ear if it tried to get me. But no, we go into her
can't
room.
Matt is feral.
Rabies. No, we go into.
Sound like a real cat.
Yeah. No, we go into her room to watch a movie, and she closes her bedroom door because she knows if she doesn't, the cats will come in, and I'm super allergic. And she had just changed all the sheets.
I think the cats know you're allergic to them,
That's,
so they're trying to kill you.
That might be true. I believe that. No, she closes her bedroom door. She closes her bedroom door, and she has never closed her bedroom door ever because she lives alone. Right. And so I go in there. Should we close the door? We're going to watch a movie. And she asks, oh, do you want some cereal? And I said, hell yes, I want some cereal.
Duh.
So you know Lucky what she charms? Does? She gets up. She walks through the door, jiggles the knob, delicious. And nothing happens. And at first, I thought she was screwing with me. And so then I get up, and she turns around and tells me, Matt, the door is locked. I said, what? So I go over and I jiggle the doorknob. It will not open. The lock connected to the handle is detached. You cannot open the door. And so we were trapped in her apartment in a space where she lives alone and nobody was looking for us.
And the cats are running wild.
And the cats are trying to claw their way under the door to get to me because they hate me.
They're like, Matt, we know you're in there.
We are coming. Return the flask or summer my curse. No. So we literally were stuck in there. And luckily, like, we had our cell phones, we had our chargers, we had snacks. Like, we were fine.
At least you had snacks.
Right. But, you know, it was one of those moments, all in all, even though we had to wait, like, this was at 2 a.m., so we had to wait till 7 a.m. the next morning for the, you know, the front door person to come in. And I will say they had to remove the doorknob to get this part. Like, she had to get us out of this room. She had to remove the entire doorknob just to get us out of the room. And I, you know, for us, it reestablished those little moments of us just being together. And like, all in all, it was a much funnier experience than it should have been. We should have been a little bit more concerned, especially because like I had dairy and dairy does not agree with my stomach. So I told her that like there is no bathroom.
Lactose intolerant.
I am lactose intolerant. And there's no bathroom in this room. It is literally a bed and a closet and a small window.
Could have been bad.
It could have been bad. It wasn't. You know, we got the doorknob off. We tried to pry the doorknob. We tried to pry the door off of the hinges. Did not work. We even took apart one of her bed frames and tried to use the metal to wedge it in the door.
Mm-mm. Oh, they're going to say like a battering ram.
That door was flimsy. We could have broken it down together.
You really wanted to.
Just kick it down.
We definitely could have gotten through. But I think, you know, for that, though, for me, it was getting back to that basics of just being honestly locked in a room together and forced to, like, enjoy each other's company that really, like, reestablished and reignited that friendship.
Sometimes you gotta lock yourself in a room with your friend just to... Yeah.
Whenever they tell you that locking, you know, two people in a room together doesn't work, let me tell you, it works.
It works.
Sometimes for some, you maybe don't
even,
not all.
Sometimes you don't even mean to do it. It just happens.
It's hard.
But that's a whole episode. Getting locked in a basement room together. It's hard.
Listen, I feel like only very few of us, a.k.a. you, would have a story to go with that.
That's true. We compliment each other, James.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. I'm beautiful.
I think another issue that you have to face is, you know, sometimes you meet that person, and I've had this happen to me before where, you know, you establish a friendship with somebody and you start to become attracted to that person.
Yeah, like, and your heart gets warm, your eyes get all googly, down below gets fired up.
Tingly.
Down below gets fired up.
Yep.
The oven starts a-churning.
Yeah, taking your friendship to that next level. So first you have to, like, address your feelings.
I think this is also, like, the three A's of taking your friendship to the next level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the addressing your feels, assessing your feels, and acting on the feels. I definitely have experience with some of that. I had a best friend, and we were friends for a while, and then I was like, ooh, I think I kind of like him. And then I addressed them with myself. I was like, okay, like, you know, I analyzed everything. You know, if we want to put analyze for another A. And then really just thinking about how I felt about this person and then acting on it. Unfortunately, it did not work out, but that's okay because...
Did the tires get slashed?
No, that was a different story.
Okay.
Wait, what? There's a real story about tires getting slashed?
Yes, I got my tires slashed once.
By a significant other?
No, it was actually a friend of mine who was actually a fake friend.
Oh, you got your tire slashed.
Yes.
I thought we were talking about slashing tires.
No,
like, I've done that before.
I just want to say James, I have never slashed anyone's tires, but I've had mine slashed.
I did not do that, for the record.
On the record, I did not. Slash tires, but I had mine slashed. But, yeah, I told one of my friends that I had feelings for him, and it did not work out, and that's okay. But I have the best thing ever. I'm dating the best guy ever. So that everything works out for a reason. But, yeah, sometimes it's very confusing when you have a friend and you start to develop feelings, or you think you start to develop feelings for them.
Well, I think also when it comes to terms with, like, people say that infatuation only lasts for 6 months. So it's like, is the feeling that you're having, like, a long-term feeling? Is it something that, you know, you're just feeling in a moment, or because there's, like, a lack of that in your life and they're just available? You know, you really have to, like, when it comes to assessing, you have to know, like, why am I feeling this way? Is it something that's real? Is it something that I really, truly feel?
So confusing.
Or am I just trying to, like, fulfill a need right now? Because sometimes you just need to fill a need.
You just need to feel loved.
You just need to feel loved. Even if it's loved. For the night, for the moment, for the week.
For the moment, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
For
that
the season,
is.
For cuffing season.
Right, when cuffing season comes around.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you
have to. Cuffing season year round.
For James, it's host season year round.
365.
Honestly, truly,
I
we love that.
But the hardest part is acting on the feelings, for sure. I don't know if.
How do you bring that up? So, what did you say when you did that?
So I doubt he would be listening to this podcast. He does go here.
Name
he does
drop
have
it. Name drop it. Put the situation
on
blast.
His name is Brian.
Brian,
so
like the muffin?
Brian.
Brian.
What do you think I said? Brian.
Brian.
Like, so, you shouldn't be naming a man named after a muffin.
Brian, if you're listening.
Do you know the muffin
Hello.
Man?
I'm the Brian man.
Hello, Brian. But we had worked together, and then we became what I thought was really good friends, and then, like, he would FaceTime me every day. I mean, like, literally, we would talk every single day, but we really wouldn't hang out that much, and that kind of hurt me. So I think he falls into a category of certain friends. But
fake.
Then
we
for
know.
A while, I was like, hey, you know, like, I texted him, which I know is very childish, but I did.
Listen,
it.
I be doing texting to him, like, hey,
I
respond
texted
if you
him.
Like me. Block me if you don't.
Circle yes or no.
Hey,
and
sometimes you get a cut to the point.
Yeah, I mean, it got really ugly after that, and I won't go into those details. It's just a long story, but it got
the
really
tire
ugly.
Tire slashing.
You know it.
Surprisingly, this is separate from the tire slashing, but it got really ugly, but in the past, you know, I've had success with telling a person I was friends with that I like them. That time was just, like, very unsuccessful. But, yeah.
Most times when, like, I do it, they're direct. They're real direct with me. They're like, no, I just see us as friends. Or, like, they're just, like, literally yesterday. And I quote, and I'm sorry for being so explicit. He was like, nah, I'm just trying to dick you down. And I'm just like, like,
oh,
I'm not just
goodness.
A piece of meat, even though I may advertise myself to do so.
But the honesty is good.
I like the honesty. James, I think in your sense, we need to have a discuss. We need to have an internal team meeting with our marketing department and assess how we are portraying ourselves to our male audience.
Listen, I tried to be so, I'm like, hi, how are you? And they're just like, nudes.
Nudes. James, who was his friend?
Oh, it's not a friend. It's just some random person.
Who is this rando? Can we get a name?
I don't
name
even know
drop.
His name. Let me look him up
and
real quick. I have him on the snap.
I don't even know his
name
last name.
It's Tracy. His name is Tracy.
Tracy, if you're listening, you got called out. James is not a piece of meat.
Hey, Tracy.
How do you say that? Hey, Tracy. Well, I think also, like, going back to kind of, like, friendships, I think, you know, there's having friendships with one singular person, and then there's having friendships with a group. And you really have to understand what your group dynamic is like.
Yeah,
right, James?
Like, I don't have the mental energy nor brain cells to, like, have separate friend groups, and, like, I put shit in the wrong group chats already. So, like, this Friendsgiving, I invited all my friends. I was like, we're gonna get along and you're gonna like it. So, like, you have to have that group relationship, because, like, you can't always be separate but equal. Like, you need to hang out with your friends, you know. So, like, you have to have that group relationship, and, like, if someone starts causing problems, you can single them out. That's like a test to see if they're, like, one of those toxic friends, a fake friend, a mooch friend, you know, those less favorable friends. They're not horrible, but they're less favorable, because we are once again not discrediting them. But so, like, you have some people, they can have a main group of friends, and, like, I would consider myself to have a real close-knit circle of friends who I hang out with, like, every day, that I talk to every day. And then, like, you can have that backup group, but, like, they're not necessarily, like, the backup singers. They're still there. They're there to, like, dance with you on stage if you need to, but, like, they're not giving you the, like, right amount of emotional support you may need. And, like, they're just a good group of friends to fall back on, and, like, they're still equally important. Like, I consider all my friends important. I love them to death. So, like, I don't like to, like, you know, separate them. And then besides the main group and the backup group, you may have that random group of friends who just maybe like the group of friends you go to party with, you go to like dinner with. It's like specific hobbies, because like I have that certain group of friends like I go out to party with, because some of my like immediate friends may not like clubbing or partying or whatnot. So like those are the group of friends we like, you know, get together and have a good time with.
I think it's also important to kind of consider like how that, and it goes back to like group relationship. You need to know how the dynamic works. Because I have some friends that in a group setting, they do not work well. And I think like to me, I almost have to separate them out into two main groups. Just because I love.
Once again, it's a test.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is you know, though, that not everybody's personality is going to mix. And it just so happens that your personality matches up well with both groups. It's just when you put them all in the same, you know, box that, you know, they don't get along very well.
Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that's how Friendsgiving worked. Like, no one, like, disliked each other. Everyone got along. And I was like, wow, I chose a good group of friends.
That is
really
good.
If this would have happened to me last year, oh, there would have been plenty of fights happening.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Because nothing is worse when you have these two people that you love to death, and then you're like, okay, introduce them, like, we're gonna all hang out, and then they completely do not like each other at all.
Yep.
That is the worst. Or they become best friends and they single you out. That's happened to me.
That's happened to me.
Slash their tires.
And then those friends could be considered toxic friends. Like, those friends are what makes them toxic. It's like they're a detriment to you. They start causing drama. Once that drama starts coming and the tea gets piping hot, you better throw some ice on that or leave.
That's true. Well, you also have to know, especially, like, that one toxic friend, like, that one bad seed can seriously damage and affect your relationship with everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is I think that a lot of things that you need to consider is if you, because sometimes, like, we think there's so many other things going on, and when in reality, it's just that one singular person that's causing all of the problems. So when you remove that one bad seed from the group, you start to realize that everything else was fine. It was just that one person that was instigating all of this, you know, the horrible energy and drama and all these fights. I mean, I think James can attest, you know, had a friend that had to be exiled from the group just
exiled.
Because he, no, for real, like, I hate to say it like that. And
he was just toxic. He'd, like, cause drama. He'd, like, yell at people when we were trying to accommodate to him. Like, and I gave him so many opportunities, and, like, he was rude to me, people he never even really met before, his
wow.
own friends. And, like, we were just like, what is wrong? So, like, we just had to drop him because, like, I value all of my friends equal, and if you're, like, disrupting the majority, this is a democracy. We're going to boot your ass out.
And beat him.
Be gone. Hot. No, you have to know where to draw that line. And I think, and that's, unfortunately, that's the choice that had to be made, because some people, they will truly, like, stick to their guns that they are not the problem. And you have to be able to draw a line of whether or not you can deal with that. Because if you can't, it's just going to ruin every friend group that you have, just because that one person is going to take
yep.
over.
Because one bad apple, or what is it, one bad banana can ruin the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Something
because
like that, something with fruit.
Scientifically, it's because, you know, bananas...
grow on trees.
Well, no, they release a gas that
oh.
will cause all of your other fruit to ripen, which is why they tell you never to put bananas in the bowl with all the other fruit,
yes.
Because it will make all the other fruit
rot
quicker.
Now you know.
The more you know. The more
so
you know.
Like, you just, if you're looking at it like on balance, one friend over like your group of friends, you have to drop that one. And like, if people are ride or die sticking with him, you know, and I was that person, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt many times, but at the end of the day, you just gotta know what's best for you and what's best for the overall group dynamic, because you can't just cater to one friend. I hate having like favorites. Yes, you have best friends, but like, I literally love all my friends equally. I would probably equally do the same thing for all of them.
Yeah.
Like, if they said give me your spleen, I'd be like, okay.
Okay,
right.
You can't, you know, you don't want to give it away, but, you know, if they ask for it, you're just going to have to give it up.
And unfortunately, sometimes with those toxic friends, you don't realize, like, that they are the toxic ones until it's too late. And until, you know, your friendship with someone else or your group, the whole dynamic has changed. And then that's when you have to, you know, that's when you decide it's time to cut that person loose out of
yep.
your life.
It's like
yeah.
snip, snip, bitch. Another
yeah, snip,
one
snip,
in the
goodbye.
Casket.
But sometimes it's not that easy.
That's true.
Like from Hercules when they cut in the threads,
oh,
the
yeah.
life just gone by.
Maybe the thread
cut
will turn gold.
See, and sometimes when that happens, though, I will say to another aspect, like, if someone truly wants to be in your life and you can show them that they're causing a problem, some people will change. Some people will adapt and they will, you know, come back stronger,
yeah, but
better.
They have to change on their own, because I always have to think you can't change a person. They have
no.
to be willing to change on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
That shows commitment, kind of.
Yeah.
If
yep.
not change
personal
the whole
growth,
being,
yep.
but change those aspects
It shows maturity,
yeah.
too.
It does.
Yeah. Well, and I think, and I've had those relationships where, you know, even back when I was, like, in high school, you know, I had a friend that, you know, basically decided that I was the root of all evil in their life, and they cut me loose. And sadly, they tried to get everyone else to cut me off, too. So that was a whole fight. But, you know,
yeah, I don't like when they start playing, like, the devil's advocate when mm-hmm. they're trying to tell your other friends, like, hey, he's no good. That's happened to me mm-hmm. a lot.
And it was just, you know, blaming me yeah. for all the things in that person's life that were not going well or things that were going wrong, and just seeing me as this, like, villain. And you know what? If you need me to be a bad guy in your life, I've reached a point in my life where if you need me to be a bad guy to make you feel better, I will do it. You know, don't, you know, if you need a blame, if you need a scapegoat and it's going to make you better or feel better as a person, at that point, I was fine with it. I said, give me it, I'll take it. Even though I know I wasn't doing it, I took it because I felt like it was that what that person needed. I think maybe now me and that person might be able to reconcile. I don't think we ever will, but I think we'd have a better chance of it now. Just
this is
because,
in high school?
Oh, yeah. This is
you. Okay.
Listen, this
so
is
maybe
how I feel
with
some of my exes sometimes. I'm like, I think I can patch it up with them, but that's just me being lonely at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, I think of things that happened in high school, I just kind of, I like to think of anything that happened in high school or before that, I'm going to throw that out the window
that's
because
true.
People change.
But that's when true. You have those toxic friends and, like, you know they're, like, especially toxic, like, now you have to end that friendship. And how do you go about that?
You gotta be prepared because they crazy.
Oh, yes. Listen,
yeah.
like I said, I got threatened to get my head bashed open with a brick.
I
gotta hire a bodyguard.
I was gonna say, you gotta plan carefully, but I don't know if you could ever plan.
I think
walk outside in fear.
I think for James,
with a, just wear
a helmet and
a
bulletproof
hat.
Vest.
I think James starts his first move is private security.
Right.
I think, you know, like you have to start with, are they helpful or are they harmful? You have to know. Because,
that one was harmful.
Right. And the things like that, like, you have to act on it, and you know how to act accordingly, and you have to be prepared, because bitches be crazy. Like, you have to sometimes, and sadly in James' case, fear for your life. Because, you know, the older we get, the more we realize that people on their own can be kind of terrifying. You know, when you're young, like, you have someone that's kind of over you that can kind of keep that crazy under control, but when you're on your own and you're an adult, like, your level of crazy can be as high as you want it to be, and that's
oh, yeah.
truly
listen,
terrifying.
I'm like the person like, I can get crazy.
you wanna
I can go
crazy?
Further.
Let's get McFreaking crazy.
But I mean, if all else fails and, like, you try to talk to them or be prepared, just block their ass. That's my, like, number one go-to.
Blocked.
I usually start with blocking. Like, that's
James
that
blocked with a T.
Blocked.
Blocked.
Yo, yeah. Oh. That's definitely, I think the easiest way to, well, okay, that's not how you end the friendship. You don't just block them from everything and then
yes,
it's like,
it
surprise. But yeah, that's definitely a start.
I think I'm just not that person. Unless it's really, really bad. Like, for me, sometimes, like, I will just let that person go. And if they try and reach out to me, I just kind of ignore it because they give up after a while. But, like, the process of blocking people, like, for me, like, I've done it before. Believe me. And
it's
I've had
two steps.
It
you go, name, blocked, done.
And for me, though, like, I can't do it if I know I'm going to see that person, just because I feel like, for me, that's always
causing
drama. I look
in the eye and do a little neck roll, be like, yeah, I did that.
See, and this is why
I
me
wish
and Jim,
everyone could have seen that.
I wish everyone could have seen that
the little
bob. No, and I think for me, it's just harder for me just because I feel like I've, in my cases, when that's happened, it's always created way more drama for me of just, like, them then taking it a step further and I'm going to be mm-hmm. extra crazy today.
Listen, what they're going to do, block you back.
What are they going to do, be mad?
Yeah.
They corner you and they scream at you.
I have never had that happen personally. Usually when my friendships end, it's like a mutual thing of, like, I don't like you anymore. I don't like you anymore. And then
the gays are problematic, Elizabeth.
You're right.
The gays be tripping. We a scary bunch. In the Midwest, the Midwestern gays, we terrifying people.
Oh, the Midwestern gays are the scariest
we're
of
like
them all.
Oh, yes.
We're
oh,
the alpha
yes,
alpha
yes,
gays,
yes.
though. Don't you forget.
Do we,
the which ones?
The alpha gays.
The alpha corn fed.
Corn fed.
The GMO bread.
Yeah, the 100% grazed beef. Like, premium. Like,
yeah, all that
fresh
kern.
Cut.
Fresh. Oh, God.
All the kern.
All on the kern, off the kern. We even, like, we even cream corn fed. Like,
but in the end, hopefully, if you end those friendships, you can go on and blossom to be with better people. That's what I feel like I've done now. I feel like I'm in a great group dynamic with healthy friends and healthy relationships. So, like, it's great.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I think if you can get through and you can really, if you really know yourself as a person and know who you get along with, I think you'll have a much better time of like creating long lasting relationships. Cause I've always described it as there are two types of people. There are people that are going to be in your life for the long run, and there are going to be people that are in your life temporarily. Your job is to figure out which one of those.
I'm looking for the long term friends. Yep. I want my friends in my wedding, like.
Oh yeah.
And I want my friends, you know, someday see my kiddos and see, like. And
I have godmoms.
I've even come to a point where I've been told, you know, like I'm going to be a godparent to friends' kids, or I'm going to be in their wedding, or all these things. And those to me, yes, I see those like long, you know, fulfilling relationships. And I'm like, yes, I love this for me, and I want more of this.
Listen, like I would like long term friendships are great. I'm also looking for a long term relationship, so hit me up if you're single, dude.
To all of our listeners, our 60 listeners.
Honestly.
Be mine.
We couldn't do this without you. XOXO.
XOXO. We love you. Thank you, next.
But yeah, that concludes today's episode on Friendship It's Hard. Thank you to Elizabeth for coming and joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys for having me.
Partaking in our craziness.
And thank you to our listeners for listening. And I hope you join us next week for Family It's Hard. And hopefully Elizabeth will join us again for next
week's right.
show.
I am
family be my tea. Yep. That is my cup of expertise.
Can't wait to talk about my dysfunctional family.
Can't wait to throw my mom under a bus.
Not literally. Not say that.
I don't know what meant.
Well.
It's under the bus, not a bus.
But have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
Toodles.